chapter 31. And this is a passage I would imagine is familiar to many of you. And I would venture to say, you're not going to hear me say this from the pulpit again, if I were a woman, I think I would struggle to hate this passage. Right? Have you read this recently? This is a pretty high bar. I think if I were a woman, this would be more discouraging than encouraging. Well, today we want to celebrate moms. Strength, sacrifice, love, and also acknowledge that not one is perfect. And so moms, this morning I hope you will feel blessed and not that you somehow don't measure up. Instead, this morning as we read over this, it is an ideal standard that we want to celebrate where we see it. We want to obviously seek to grow and develop ladies into this, but yet recognize that no one will fully ever arrive. I want to invite you to stand with me as we honor God and His Word. We're going to read together this passage. And the part we want to hone in on here begins in verse 10. And this is a mother's advice to her son about the kind of girl he ought to look for. Okay, this is the words of King Lemuel's mother. So this is the queen mother as she is advising her boy. So with that in mind, listen to these words. She writes, "An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we read this scripture and recognize that not only was it King Lemuel's mother speaking to him, it was you speaking to us through the generations. A picture of biblical strength and femininity, of wisdom and action. And we pray that, Lord, this morning, that wherever we see this in our own wives' or mothers' lives, we will celebrate it. We'll use this as a template to encourage and pray for one another. And Father, today we each ask for you to show us in our own lives, male or female, mother or not, where we need to mature and grow to live out the wisdom you've granted us from your word. I pray, Lord, this time and your word would be encouraging to the moms of our church in a calling that is often thankless. I pray, Lord, that they would feel your affirmation and recognize their calling as one from on high and that you've blessed them with the children they have. And Lord, that they would administer those, that calling, with a great sense of reverence for you. And Lord, we just pray your blessing now on the time in your word, that it would bring light to our eyes and encouragement to our hearts as we go forth to serve you from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, let's get a good understanding here of what's going on. This is obviously the final chapter of Proverbs, and it's profiling for us a person of wisdom. And this woman that's being described is an embodiment of all of the wisdom of the first 30 chapters. So when we look at it through that lens, we need to understand that really, wife in verse 10 could be easily translated woman, and it's since it's written from a married woman's perspective to his son or her son about his future wife, it certainly has that angle. But in many regards, these character qualities are what real wisdom looks like, regardless of man, woman, mother, or not. Proverbs ends with a picture of a woman living out wisdom. Interestingly enough, Proverbs begins with wisdom being described as if she were a woman herself, calling young men to learn. And here we have at the end of the book of Proverbs, again, a woman as the example of everything we've read about, and a mother telling her son, these are the sort of things you ought to look at. It's interesting, as we read this over, I said this was an ideal standard. If you did not notice, this was a wealthy household. I mean, she's got servants. She's got money to invest. We're going to have to interpret some of this into our own lives. But one thing I'd like to point out is the queen mother, Lemuel's mom, you know, in a very patriarchal society where women often had little voice, the queen was the exception. And what she's telling her son here, using arguably her political clout, is to look for the complete woman who does not live under the biases of that day and time. Find someone who's going to push the boundaries a bit and who's going to lean into all of the gifting and the calling God has put on her life and has just not been willing to subject herself to the bigoted opinions of the culture around her. With that in mind, let's pick this apart. He says here in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. Well, the NIV of that says, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. I like that a little better. I started out this week preparing this message, and I thought a woman of excellence, the problem with that word carries so much baggage. Excellence sounds way too much like perfection, right? So I like the NIV translation a little bit better, noble character. And at the end it says, she is worth more than rubies. That's our guess. The writer here, Lemuel's mom, is referring to a gemstone that we don't recognize that word. She's saying it is something of extreme value, and it's extremely rare. And so a noble woman is a rare treasure. The truth is, the words used here in this verse are difficult to translate into English. I've referred, the next one in your notes there is the amplified version of this verse. It catches the fuller idea. It says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. Later on in this passage, in verse 29, he says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. The word excellently here describes a woman who ascends or distinguishes herself, carrying this idea of the kind of character that she is describing is a rarity. And that same idea is described three different verses in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, using the same word that are fleshed out differently to give us a better understanding of what this excellence or this nobility looks like. Ruth 3:11 uses this word to describe a woman of strength, of worth, bravery, and capability. Proverbs 11:12 uses this word to describe a virtuous and worthy wife who is earnest and strong in character. And then Proverbs 31:10 that we just looked at, just the word is used with the idea of capability, intelligence, and virtue. Now he says in verse 10, who can find this girl? This is not to mean that she's non-existent, just admittedly, all these are a majority of these attributes in one person is extremely rare. So this morning I want to ask you, what can you find about your mom to celebrate? Or gentlemen, about your wives? What is it that we can celebrate this morning? And as we work our way through this passage, I want us to take some mental notes. Because sometimes we're guilty of praying like a preschooler, you know, God bless all the missionaries, right? When really it helps to be a little more specific. So today you may say, Happy Mother's Day, and that's kind of like that preschool prayer. How about we look for some more specific things that we can say to mom? Now again, I readily recognize some of you may not have had moms that were anywhere close to this ideal, but I'm going to bet you can find one or more things in here that you can put your arm around her and thank her for. So let's work our way through this morning. It says in verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A noble woman has her husband's trust. Now, if we look in the middle of this is really a poem, by the way, and it was an acrostic. Each line started with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the very middle of this poem, it says this in verse 23, her husband is highly regarded at the gate. Wait a minute. I thought we're talking about this gal, this Wonder Woman that he's to go looking for. Right here at the beginning and then in the middle, it's again referring to her husband and he's highly regarded. It seems like an intrusion on the story, doesn't it? Like, I thought we're talking about her, and then we run over here and talk about him, then we run back and talk about her. But first of all, we need to again remember, mom's telling King Lemuel, here's what to look for. This kind of girl, this kind of character in your marriage, there's going to be some tangible personal benefit here. And it establishes the central message to this, because much of the counsel of Proverbs is relational in the way that we live wisdom. We put it into play. We relate to each other. We relate to the Lord. We even relate to ourselves. This nobility, this strength, character, and competence have a direct result on the people in relationship with this kind of person. And those people, specifically her husband, is blessed and well off by connecting to this kind of woman, by committing and marrying her. So in your life, as you look at your mom, guys, as you look at your wife, how are you better for her character? I think you might find some things that you can say thank you for today. Okay, next, verses 13 to 15 describes a noble woman. She works hard. Now listen to these words. She works with willing hands. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. And those verses also describe her weaving and sewing and securing what her family needs, getting up early, staying up late. That last part sounds like moms of any age, early and late. We may not make our own clothes anymore, and I don't think this is a call to do so. This is pre-industrial world, but moms, you still got to invest time to go looking and finding and bringing home, managing a household. And the bottom line is just hard work. And it's the kind of work, obviously, that you do in one moment and is undone 10 minutes later. And so it's doing it over and over again, which is why it's interesting here it says that she does it with willing hands. Literally, with the delight of her hands, meaning that as unto the Lord, she has found the joy in the mundane. Doing the over and over and over, in the moment it seems futile and it'd be easy to throw up one's hands, but when you recognize your calling as a mom is from the Lord, these tasks are as unto the Lord, and this woman has found her joy in that being enough. That still doesn't mean we shouldn't recognize and thank and applaud and help. Amen? All right. Managing a household successfully requires hard work and a lot of creativity. How has your family been served over the years by mom? Now, some won't really fully understand until you are a mom or a dad, especially of little ones watching, and begin to realize the incredibly high price that was paid for you out of love over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so today, that's what we're doing. So I want to encourage you, children, husbands, how has your family been served over the years by your mom or your wife? Verse 31:16 says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is valuable. Not only is she hardworking, but she's got a head for business. I think this is a little bit where the queen was pressing the envelope, like, hey, listen, you can give in and just go with the flow and not have big ambition. But she is describing challenging stereotypes in the process, a woman with ambition, and saying, listen, she works and looks for opportunity to do what she can to better care for her family. She uses a fuller complement of her gifts and abilities than simply the mundane tasks of the family. She looks for ways to explore and expand and use what God's given her. In your life, how has mom gone above and beyond in helping to provide for her family? What extra things has she done along the way? A noble woman is strong in faith and in character. Verse 17 and then verse 25 say this, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. By the way, that's not about going to the gym. Okay? This is not a, yeah. This is because of the manual nature of being a mom. Her arms are strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. You know, in Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As we look at this woman, this picture of biblical femininity, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Her strength and her dignity are her clothing. And what this passage describes is a work ethic, a approach to life that flows out of the wisdom that comes only from a genuine reverence for God. So for any woman to live out all or the majority of these character qualities, it begins first, the taproot, if you will, is a reverence for the Lord. Because once that is in place, then it gives us guidance on what the Lord wants from us, what real wisdom looks like, because many of these things could be looked at cynically as a woman who is just being used and abused, but yet as unto the Lord, it's a gift. It's what's rewarded by the Lord and recognized and celebrated by family. This work ethic is a direct expression of a wisdom that is grounded in a faith. So as you look at your mom, has her faith provided direction, stability, a godly example for you to follow? Maybe you're the first generation in recent generations in your family to walk with Christ, so that may not be true, but some of you have moms that were a great example of the faith and persevered through hard times and encouraged you and offered counsel based on what the Scripture said. Maybe today, as you celebrate Mother's Day, it would be wise to identify some specific things about your mother's faith that set you up for success. Proverbs 31:20 says, a noble woman is compassionate. This generosity has action. It looks like something specific. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we see over and again that real wisdom in real life looks like care and investment in people that can't give anything back. In Proverbs 17, it warns against those who mock the poor because they make the Lord their enemy. This woman is just the opposite. Because of her devotion to the Lord, because of her godly character and her wisdom, this looks like generosity to those who can't pay back ever. How has your mom been a model of this kind of care and generosity for other people? Maybe there's something in there. You remember an experience you had where she gave up what she had for the good of another. That might be something you need to identify today as you talk to her. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. A noble woman is wise, kind, and teaches other people. Again, much of the wisdom of Proverbs is about relationships. And so, with her children as her primary pupils, a mom, this mom's core teaching is how kindness should play out in relationships. So much of Proverbs is about dealing with your enemy or those who oppose you. And in action, it looks like the kindness that is on her tongue, this description of what real Christ-like living looks like today. How do you deal with people that wrong you, that betray you, that speak ill of you? What does kindness look like? How has your mom taught you? How has she exemplified kindness in the face of difficulty? How has she instructed you when you were in difficult times and relationships with other people? Perhaps there's something in that that you could add to your list this morning of how you want to thank and bless your mom today. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, charm and beauty aren't bad. Matter of fact, I think everyone would agree those are wonderful things to nurture and develop and care for. But for King Lemuel's son, that wasn't enough to marry her, right? Only so much makeup only goes so far. If there's not character under it, it's going to play out badly later, right? So what she's saying to her son is, look, son, have eyes to see. There's more to life than a pretty face. And he's saying simultaneously to us this morning that real character is what matters most. This young man should first seek a woman who fears the Lord. And for the women here, we recognize that we need to recognize what matters most. It's character. We need to take care of yourself. I think, my goodness, that's a gift you give to yourself, the people in your life, to take care of yourself. But listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:4. He said, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So we're recognizing that it's character first. And you can cover it up, or a lack of character, you can only cover it up for so long. How has your mom walked in the strength and wisdom of the Lord? How has she lived out character in the face of difficult times? Make sure that you celebrate that in her. Proverbs 31, verses 28 to 31 is what I read this morning in the welcome. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. What's he saying? What is she saying, rather? Whoever finds this sort of woman should make sure that her gifts and accomplishments do not go unappreciated. And that's what we're all about today. So I want to challenge you today to don't simply say, Happy Mother's Day. Take your notes, make some sidebar comments, and lay it on thick this morning. And specifically, Mom, thank you for this and this and this and this. I want to invite you to bow your heads as we take a moment and we pray together. I'm going to ask Justin to come forward and play for us. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness in our life. And Lord, this morning as we read this list, I recognize there are some here who have already lost their moms. And so there's not a person that they can call or hug today. And but today, Lord, as we read over this list, their hearts may be stirred of the many ways that their mom lived out these ideals. And so today we say thank you to you, Lord, for blessing us with the moms that we have or have had. Father, we also pray that you would help us to take full advantage of the day, the opportune time to specifically, pointedly bless and encourage our moms or our wives. If there's areas on this list where we realize there are some glaring absences or weaknesses, that rather than point them out, we just pray for them and encourage them and thank them for the good that they're already doing and ask the Lord to strengthen them where they're weak. Father, I pray for the young people in our church that as we look at this list, guys and gals would measure themselves considering what wisdom in real life looks like. That character is far more important than appearances. And that we would seek to be people of character. We would celebrate the character and the people around us. And certainly when it comes time to looking for a future spouse, that would be a preeminent part of what we look for. I praise the church, Lord, that we would be a people who celebrate mature, Christ-like character. That we're not easily misled by talk or appearances, but we see we have eyes to see what real wisdom in action looks like. And as a church family, there may be some who have behaved as spiritual moms for others whose earthly mom was lacking. Maybe you've blessed some with some godly women in their lives that have been able to step in and play a role and set an example and provide guidance and encouragement that they were sorely lacking. Father, I thank you that you allow us to behave as a church and do that for one another. I pray, Father, that as a church, we would be a place where women are able to fully explore the gifts you've given them and glorify you as they serve you, Lord. God, we thank you for your goodness in our life. And I pray, Lord, that today we would glorify you by being people who give appropriate gratitude, offering the fruit of her hands back to our wives and mothers and thanking them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about just a couple of things here before we wrap up our service and then you get busy celebrating your mom. The first one is, this is a season of prayer in our church. I asked you last Sunday to really commit during the month of May to raise your level of play, so to speak, and be more dedicated to prayer. Specifically, we're setting aside Thursdays to intercede for a variety of things that I'll talk about in a moment, but you may choose to fast all of food, or maybe you fast from something specific, but the point is to set something aside that's a normal part of your life as a continual reminder throughout the day to talk to the Lord. I'm encouraging you, if you've not done so already, to find a prayer partner, somebody that whether in person or on the phone, on Thursday, you talk to and pray with. And finally, Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, we'll gather, we'll be in the atrium, and we're just going to take some time and seek the Lord together. Those have been going about 45 minutes, so it's not an enormous commitment, but it's a good chance for you to come and just talk to the Lord and let's seek Him together. The three things I'm asking us to be praying for, first of all, is the Festival of Hope. It's the end of May. We're asking God to work greatly in our community that many, many people would come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result. Part of that is praying for the people in your own life. And you've got, many of you have a copy of the brochure that we've been passing out where you can identify the different people in your life that need Jesus Christ. It looks like this. If you don't have one, there's some at the Welcome Center. So I'd encourage you to pick one of these up and make that part of your prayer. So part of what we're praying over is the Festival of Hope, that people will be drawn to Christ through that event. Secondly, we're praying for our own church. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating as the people of Simply Church join us for worship. So they'll be in both of our services next Sunday morning. They'll be in our connection groups. And then next Sunday evening, we'll have a reunion service where together, each church will enter into a business session. In our business session, we will be voting on whether to call their pastor to become our associate pastor. And then they will vote to dissolve as a church and encourage all their people to come over and join FaithBridge. I've heard people ask, is this a merger? No, it's an adoption, right? They're choosing to become part of us. There's no guarantees as far as who in leadership there will continue here. Matter of fact, we've asked their small groups to shut down, at least for the summer, so that they can come over and become a part of our existing ones. And at the end of the summer, we'll look at to decide if any of those need to relaunch and then open them up to anybody that would like to join in. What I have not explained publicly before is one of the miraculous parts of this merger, of this coming together, is that their pastor, Kevin Hale, is embracing all of the risk because he will not be compensated out of our personnel budget. He and their leadership team are signing agreements that they will bring the resources that will provide all that is needed, or he'll step down in the future. So we're in this. We're going to make this a win for him, for them, for us, and not just a win in the sense that we survive, but as I told you last week, for us, a win is not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 5. And we're asking the Lord to bring and do something great through the two churches coming together. Amen? So we're praying for Festival of Hope. We're praying, first of all, with gratitude, but also for the Lord to go before us on these churches coming together. And then the third thing that we're praying over is the continued conversation with our bond company about the property. And I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago that the deal that was on our property fell through, which is, if you're new to us, that's good news, because that means we're it. We're the last ones that the bondholders have to negotiate with. And so right now, we're having conversation about what it might look like for them to sell the property back to us at a price that we can afford. So we just need to pray that way, right? And we ask God to be in those details, and I hope to have good news for you soon. So we've got three big things: Festival of Hope, Simply Church coming on board, and our financial closure. Can you imagine, after all these years, what it will be like to have that behind us? The skies open up, and here we go, full time. We're serving the Lord. Those things are no longer driving a lot of who we are and what we have to talk about. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Amen. All right, next Sunday, so don't miss. It's going to be a good time. I want you to make sure that you're here. Now, we're going to wrap up our time this morning, and I want to encourage you to go to a connection group. If you're not typically in one, this is a good day for you to get started. Let me invite you to gather your things. Stand with us as we sing together.